But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with Republicans blocking federal IVF protections, move on to how Louisiana's new Ten Commandments law is going, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Why Maggots Think America Isn't a Democracy. Let's begin, shall we? At some point in your life, you may find yourself dealing with a cop. If you're Alec Baldwin, you may be clutching your pearls at the thought of having to show ID when clearly they can see your face. But if you're a 43-year-old musician trying to make a comeback, getting pulled over for drunk driving tends to ruin everything.
She got breaking news out of New York. A pop star arrested overnight in the Hamptons.
Yeah, so Justin Timberlake was partying in Sag Harbor. He got in a car and began driving, almost immediately blew a stop sign. Cops saw that and began following him.
Court documents say the 43-year-old had bloodshot eyes and a strong odor of alcohol when he was pulled over.
Police say the 43-year-old refused to take a breathalyzer test three times and told officers, "I had one martini and I followed my friends home."
Of course you did. Just one mega martini in, and all of a sudden you're driving in every lane like you've got time and ignoring stop signs, if you don't mind. And that's whatever, because the best part of this story is how Justin reacted to being pulled over, tested for sobriety, and eventually put in the back of a squad car by a 23-year-old Sag Harbor police officer. And the reason age matters is because after the cop cuffed Justin, who was at this point allegedly crying a river, said out loud as he was being placed into the police car, quote, "This is going to ruin the tour." The 23-year-old cop looked confused because for him, he was just arresting a drunk middle-aged Chad leaving a bar in the middle of the night. So the cop said, "What tour?" And Justin is said to have replied, all whispery and under his breath, "The world tour." And that's because Justin Timberlake just released his sixth album and is currently on tour promoting Member Berries because boys got bills. And while we're on the subject of the audacity of some people, maybe it's just me, but have you noticed America is going through a non-consensual makeover that's fundamentally changing who we are as a country? Ever since the bogus SCOTUS said abortion is a states' rights issue, we've seen red state after red state take issue with abortion to the point of either outright banning it or giving the woman just a few weeks to figure her shit out. Then they came for contraception and the abortion pill mifepristone, and the jesters of the highest court kicked it all back to the states because they did so well with abortion access. And it was at this time the Dems in Congress brought forth a bill to federalize the right to contraception, and the Republicans said no because contraception is not under threat. Even though 14 states currently allow employers to refuse to provide health care to their employees if that means access to contraception. And in You Can't Have an Abortion Because It's Illegal, Missouri, they have passed a law refusing federal funding to Planned Parenthood because they provide contraception such as IUDs, Plan B, and condoms. So the Dems, they tried to pass a federal protection for IVF, and, well, you know how this went.
Senate Republicans blocked a Democratic bill that would have established protections for in vitro fertilization nationwide.
On this vote, the yeas are 48, the nays are 47. Three-fifths of the senators duly chosen and sworn not having voted in the affirmative, the motion is not agreed to.
In vitro, or IVF for short, is a way of becoming pregnant by fertilizing eggs outside the body.
Many people use this option when they otherwise aren't able to conceive. This bill was called the Right to IVF Act. It would have also expanded access to the treatment through insurance as well as for military members and veterans.
So I bet you're wondering why Republicans voted against protecting IVF when they've been on a media tour saying that they love IVF and would never let anything happen to it. Well, it's because Republicans say IVF isn't under attack, just like they said contraception isn't under attack. Except the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that embryos are children too, so there's that. And I know, after much backlash, the Alabama legislator passed an IVF protection bill, but all it does is provide legal criminal immunity to healthcare workers who administer IVF treatments. What it doesn't do is address the clumps of cells are the same as an infant bullshit out of their supreme disaster for convenience sake. Nor does it protect healthcare workers from civil lawsuits. Oh, and let's not gloss over the fact that mom and dad aren't mentioned in a protected class in any of that bill. So why in the fuck is this happening in the first place?
The nation's largest Protestant denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, voted to condemn the use of IVF at its annual meeting.
The resolution, which received about 60% of the delegate votes, supporting a decision in February by Alabama's Supreme Court, which ruled embryos are considered children.
And urges delegates to lobby the government to limit IVF as it is practiced now.
This was a monumental decision by the delegates at the Southern Baptist Convention. It's the largest evangelical, largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. It's the first time that they've made this formal statement about IVF.
Oh, well, maybe formally, but in the privacy of their churches and the Moms for Christian meetings, they sure as shit has been talking about this. See, according to the white right, IVF is an affront to their sky daddy because only he decides who gets pregnant and who doesn't and when. And since every sperm is sacred, whether it comes from a rapist or your uncle, only Republican Jesus gets to choose who is worthy of bringing another future worker into the world, not science. Which is also why the indoctrination of our younglings has to be up to the state. Hence why Louisiana is apparently where the Christianization of public education will now begin.
Whatever your knowledge of or adherence to the Ten Commandments, those ethical imperatives inherent to Judaism and Christianity, if you're in a Louisiana public school classroom, they're going to be up on the wall.
So Louisiana, as of tonight, is now the first state to require the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every public school classroom in the state after the governor signed this controversial bill into law.
The legislation written by Republicans mandates that every public classroom from kindergarten to college must have a poster-sized display of the commandments in a, quote, large, easily readable font.
Today we fulfill our promise to bring drastic reform to our educational system and bring common sense back to our classroom.
This bill mandates the display of the Ten Commandments in every classroom in public, elementary, secondary, and post-education schools in the state of Louisiana. Because if you want to respect the rule of law, you got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses.
Amen.
All right.
No, not all right. Moses was not the original lawgiver because he wasn't even alive in 2100 BCE when the Code of Ur-Nammi was written in ancient Mesopotamia. Oh, and by the way, the Ten Commandments were written in 3000 BCE, which also makes them 3,700 years younger than the infamous Code of Hammurabi. So I gotta ask, what is this ignorant fuck of a governor of Louisiana talking about when he says Moses is an OG lawmaker? Because if you think the religiousness stopped right there, wait till you get a load of the co-author of the Suffer All the Children to Learn Morality from Morons Law, State Representative for Louisiana, Lauren Ventrella. Roll tape.
It's just a requirement that the classrooms should post what we know and believe is the moral fabric, the moral fiber of our country that should be on public display.
You realize that this country is an amalgamation of cultures, right, and different faiths. And even within Christianity, people don't interpret those commandments the same way.
Whether we like it or not, Moses is in the Supreme Court of the United States. The Ten Commandments are in the Supreme Court of the United States. Moses is on the law in Congress. This is part and ingrained in our nation. This is a historical document.
Do you also recognize that the Constitution of this country, its founding document, doesn't include the word God or Jesus or Christianity? And that's for a reason, because the founding fathers founded this country as a secular one.
In God We Trust is written on that dollar. It is not forcing anybody to believe one viewpoint.
Oh, that bish said so many wrong things in such a short amount of time. I'm not even sure she knows how to tie shoelaces.
Okay, I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively in a row.
So first off, In God We Trust was added to the U.S. dollar bill and all paper money in the United States in 1955, because then Congress wanted to legitimize Christianity by making it what America stands for. And before you keyboard warriors come for me, yes, In God We Trust first appeared on American money via coins, going all the way back to 1864. But do you have any idea why? Or better yet, do you know what was happening back in 1864? Well, if you guessed the American Civil War, you would be correct. And it just so happened that Southern slave owners fighting to preserve their God-given states' rights to enslave human beings for their own financial profit thought it would be a nifty idea to enshrine their God onto the only other thing that they worshipped, money. Secondly, the Ten Commandments are not an historical document. These are 10 rules made up by a patriarchal religion that clearly had control over their followers in mind when they did so, and has very fucking little to do with morality, other than basic morality. Because sure, it starts off with thou shalt not murder or steal or lie, but that's just common sense. Humans are social creatures, so it's just pack animal thinking that if you need others around you to survive, it's probably not a good idea to kill them, take their shit, and then lie about it. And while we're talking about real history, Christianity has a centuries-long track record of murderous moments, such as the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, and then there's all those witches that they vanquished. Oh, and let's not forget that with all the murderous colonization that they've been doing, you know, that's just really a fancy way of saying, I stole your shit and I ain't giving it back. Which would also fall under lying, but, you know, what else can you expect from the self-proclaimed moral majority? But I digress. We're talking about Republicans' blatant disregard for the U.S. Constitution's separation of church and state with this Ten Commandments in every classroom crap. And by the way, don't think for a moment Republicans aren't aware that as soon as this law goes into effect, there will be a plethora of lawsuits filed to try and stop them from stupefying young minds with this religious bullshit. In fact, believe it or not, they're counting on it.
We have seen some of these conservative states go and challenge what has previously been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Back in 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court, they ruled against a Kentucky measure that would have required public classrooms to have the Ten Commandments inside of the classrooms. And yet 45 years have passed. It is a different Supreme Court with a conservative lean to it. And the conservative legislature and Republican Governor Landry, who signed this measure into law, made the conscious decision that they're going to go and try to challenge that.
Of course they are. How else are they going to remodel a nation whose foundational principle is the rule of law if they don't grab them by the legals. I mean, that's why the former guy installed those maggots on the highest court in this land, to change America from the inside out. So far, they've kicked abortion and contraception back to the states because they have the right to make that decision. And never mind that the state's decisions are now causing women's lives to be at risk, because apparently they have the right over that too. Oh, and while we're on the subject of churches doing it for themselves, in this politically charged election year, it may come as no surprise that some things never change, like politicians lying in order to get votes. For example, the newly convicted felon and obviously broke-ass billionaire paid a visit to a black church in Detroit, Michigan, because allegedly the ones in Milwaukee are horrible, and accomplished something very few white men have ever been able to do: speak to an all-white crowd in a black church.
Donald Trump, at what nearly every major media outlet reported was his visit to a black church in Detroit, Michigan. The headline in the New York Times: Trump, in pitch to black voters in Detroit, cast Biden as anti-black. And the Washington Post: Trump portrays rampant crime in speech at black church in Detroit. And the Associated Press: Trump blasts immigrants for taking jobs as he courts voters at a black church MAGA event in Detroit. What they somehow forgot to show was how overwhelmingly white that crowd was inside a large Detroit church that, yes, does indeed have a black pastor, but which merely served as a venue. Trump was in Detroit to participate in something called the People's Convention, a weekend-long gathering arranged by Turning Point Action, a conservative grassroots group founded by activist Charlie Kirk. It is ironic that Trump is attempting to court black voters in Detroit just 4 years after lying about black voters in Detroit and claiming their votes were inherently fraudulent. Michigan was one of the states whose votes Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and their little cabal tried to steal in their insurrection. The attorney general in Michigan has charged 16 people with felonies for trying to steal the votes of black Michiganders from Detroit.
You know, that pasty orange douche, he has all the nerve. Coming to a black church with his all-white crowd in tow after he and his merry band of bumbling idiots tried to delegitimize black voters back in 2020 simply because they voted for Joe Biden, saying that they were fake votes, and even going as far as to send 16 of his own fake electors to certify the vote for himself. And now those cult members are facing federal prison for not stopping the steal that they were stealing. But the audacity does not stop there, kiddies, because this racially motivated bullshit was brought to you by Turning Point USA and incel extraordinaire Charlie Kirk. This is an organization that creates an evangelical safe space for incels and Christian nationalists who just want Eric's dad to be their dear leader again. And they'll do anything, and I mean anything, to make sure that that happens. Here is about all you should have to handle from some of the keynote speakers from Turning Point USA, the shindig MAGA Lardo attended after his photo op at the black church.
The more they throw at Donald Trump, the more they throw at us, the more we support him.
And the solution is to deport every single illegal alien who came to this country under Joe Biden's regime.
For Joe Biden and Dr. Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, all in the Biden, they're a bunch of feral dogs, right? It's a family of feral dogs. We're gonna have to fumigate.
It's gonna be a new day, and MAGA will run things. They're going to know that MAGA is not only ascendant, MAGA is in charge. It's very simple. Victory or death.
Okay, well, I guess this is serious. And coming from the leaders of Combo Meal Team 6 that insurrected all over the Capitol and smeared shit on the walls when they didn't get their way 4 years ago, so sure. I guess we have to at least pay attention to the words that are coming out of their mouths. Because whether we do or not, their sheeple do, and that is becoming a comprehension problem.
Some Republicans and pro-Trump media are pushing the idea that America is not a democracy.
The United States of America is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic.
The United States of America is not a democracy. You don't want to be in a democracy.
We are not a democracy. We are a republic.
Obviously, there's a lot of criticisms of Trump that he is bad for democracy, that he's bad for American democracy.
Okay. We're a republic.
We're a republic.
We are not a democracy.
We're a representative republic. We're not a democracy.
America's not a democracy, it's a republic.
Like, it's not a democracy. Okay, democracy is actually not as good as you think it is.
Is America a democracy?
Yes. No, I think
well, not
we're
right
a
now,
republic.
But we're a republic.
What's the difference?
I feel like democracy. Let me think this through. That it's government control. I don't see freedom in democracy. I see freedom in the republic.
What? I'm sorry. Stormtrooper says what? Of course, members of Girth Vader's cult would get all Sith about this. All across white-wing media, they're watching really bad infotainment shows, with even worse hosts having tantrums on the daily about how America isn't a democracy, because that's what the Democrats want this country to be, with all their rainbows and their drag queen story times. And while it's a lot to have Christian nationalists burrowing their Bibles into two branches of our federal government simultaneously, let's not forget about the legion of colonizers using states' rights to install their religious ideology instead of legit laws, because how else are you going to have a Christian nation?
You are hearing people say America is not a democracy because there are people around Trump who want them to be saying that, who've been planting that narrative. If they can convince people that we don't have a democracy, then it's okay that Trump is attacking democracy because it doesn't really matter. America is a democracy. It's true the founders didn't want direct democracy, by which they meant people gathering on the town square. They wanted representative democracy. But I think the reason why this conversation about language has risen now is because there is a part of the Republican Party that would like to rule as a minority. And they need an excuse for why that's okay. And so they have begun to say, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. And it's not 100% clear what that means, but I think they mean we want Donald Trump to be able to do whatever he wants.
And I think that lady is on to something. Because if Tons of Oranges gets to do whatever he wants, then they get to do whatever they want. And by they, I mean Christian nationalists and their adjacent buddies, who may never say the quiet part out loud, but always tend to support the fascist who does. And when I say Christian nationalist adjacent, this is what I mean.
This morning, the pastor of a Texas megachurch has resigned amid allegations he sexually abused a girl for years, beginning when she was 12.
Resignation of the now former pastor of the Dallas megachurch, Robert Morris.
Between 1982 and 1987, the former megachurch pastor acknowledged what he called an inappropriate relationship on evangelical trips during his 20s with who he described as a young lady.
He said, you can never tell anyone because it will ruin everything.
According to Gateway Church leaders, the charismatic leader of thousands of souls in the Dallas-Fort Worth area stepped away from preaching to receive professional and ministry counseling. In a sermon 10 years ago, the pastor did not identify who he was talking about when he said this.
I learned to lie and manipulate because I also had rejection. I didn't want to be rejected, so I looked for the girls that would be the most susceptible.
I hope now it's starting to make sense why they want so badly for the Orange Felonious to be back in the White House. What with all of his low-key wanting to bang his daughter Ivanka, a thing he said on camera to a live national audience on The View, by the way. Oh, and didn't Stormy Daniels, the porn star he fucked while Melania was caring for their four-month-old Baron, say on the stand and under oath that the Floridian fondler told her she reminded him of Ivanka before he showed her that mushroom of a penis? It's obvious the groomers are coming from inside the church, and it doesn't matter if it's a Catholic priest or an evangelical leader or just some creepy youth pastor. Republican Jesus freaks have pedophilia on lock. And while they're busy tearing down our democracy to make way for their theocratic fever dream, it's clear to me their Handmaid's Tale plans involve our daughters. Or maybe it's just a coincidence that in 2022, the teen birth rate dropped to 13.2%, an all-time low since the 1970s, and the national overall U.S. birth rate dropped by 11% in the same time frame. Those numbers are awfully close to each other, don't you think? And perhaps it's just happenstance that in states where abortion is illegal or severely restricted, education is focused solely on abstinence or just isn't taught at all in schools because there's no money after all that defunding maggots have done to public education. See, I don't know for a fact that Republicans want to get teen birth rates up back to what they were in the 1950s by refusing to educate our younglings on reproduction while simultaneously removing contraception and abortion as viable options. I just know it's true. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can also follow This Week Again on social media, wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. And to der for now.